Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Nothing is more exciting than knowing that the Cavaliers have two picks in this draft and they are towards the end on Thursday. You can feel the excitement with that 49th pick and the electricity of the 58th pick.
Do I sense sarcasm?
No, I'm just excited for the draft. We have got to be educated on this thing, and we better bring in somebody that actually knows what they're talking about. So Ricky O'Donnell is the basketball editor at SB Nation, and he is nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ricky, are you ready to party for two full nights of NBA draft action, my friend?
Can't wait, baby. Nothing better in sports than the draft when there is no action going on between the lines, but we all get to dream that our favorite teams can be turned around by a young prospect. So let's do it.
You had me at hello. I got to tell you, that was great. Oh, man. We're sitting here in Cleveland, and obviously this isn't going to be fun. It's not going to be fun every other year here for a while, because when does the Cavs' next first pick, I think, is in?
I believe it's 30? In 2073.
Yeah, I think so. That's where we're at the next point. But I am excited about Cooper Flagg and what he's going to be able to do in the NBA. And, I mean, all eyes are on Cooper Flagg tomorrow night, right? I'm not crazy?
Absolutely, yeah. Cooper Flagg going to go to the Dallas Mavericks. He's been the odds-on number one overall pick in this draft from the moment he reclassified to skip his senior year of high school, entered Duke early. And to me, like, the best thing you could do as a prospect is put up elite production at a young age against older competition. That's exactly what Cooper Flagg did this year. He was the best player in college basketball, despite the fact that he was 17 years old for half the season. I just feel like he checks every box in terms of his frame, his physicality, his skill set, his athleticism, his mentality. He's just someone you want to bet on. And, oh, my God, the Mavericks landing this pick after trading Luka is just still hard to believe and just seems like, you know, it was written in the stars or scripted or whatever you want to believe. It's hard to believe that Cooper Flagg's actually going to the Dallas Mavericks after the Luka trade, but here we are.
I'll go with scripted, Ricky. That one, as soon as that happened, I thought the same thing that you just threw out there.
Hey, wait a minute. We got LeBron. Can you stop? We're not talking about being scripted.
Scripted, yeah. Okay. Why not? You have a mock draft out. It's interesting to me. The first 11 picks in your mock draft are all freshmen coming out after 1 year. One guy I think is really intriguing, and we have a tie to him here, obviously, is Dylan Harper from Rutgers, whose dad, Ron Harper, played for the Cavaliers initially in his career. Is Dylan anything like his dad? He's a little more rugged and physical than his father, is he not?
Yeah, maybe before the injuries, Ron Harper, he was a pretty explosive scorer. I think Dylan Harper could maybe get there as he goes on in his career. To me, he's the second best prospect in this class behind Flagg, because for a lead guard, he's just absolutely huge. 6'6 in shoes, 6'10 wingspan. He's someone who could guard opposing guards, but you can also switch him onto wings, and he's strong enough and physical enough to handle that. I just love his ability to get downhill. This guy would just split double teams so easily at Rutgers on a team where, you know, he was the top option on every opposing scouting report. Besides for Ace Bailey, there was no talent on that Rutgers team whatsoever. And Dylan Harper still finished 70% of his shots at the rim, was generating paint touches at will. I think he's a really good prospect. You know, we'll see if the Spurs are a good fit for him. The one hole in his skill set is that he's not the best shooter, especially on pull-ups. The Spurs already have two other shaky shooters in the lineup. in the backcourt with De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle. So I'm interested to see how that works out. But to me, Harper is the keeper. Maybe you look to move off Fox or Castle long term. I think, you know, you build around Harper as your lead ball handler next to Victor Wembanyama. That's a pretty good foundation. And in all the sort of commotion about the Mavs moving up to number one, it's pretty crazy that the Spurs with Victor Wembanyama have the second pick in this draft. They're going to land a premium prospect. They should be, you know, probably the Thunder's biggest competitor in the West over the next 5 years with Wembanyama in tow. So this is the first piece, getting a really solid young co-star in Harper. I think he lives up to the hype.
Do you think he stays there? The rumbling that San Antonio would move that pick in the right deal for a big-time player. What do you think?
I do think he's going to stay there. It seems like the Spurs have taken a very long-term view with their approach to building around Wembanyama. Remember, they traded a top 10 pick last year. They had the 8th pick, traded it to Minnesota for like a 2031 first-round draft pick. So I don't think that they are like really pushing to accelerate the timeline too much at this point. They still need good players on the roster. If they're going to compete, they're not really close to like, you know, actually competing for the Western Conference Championship at this point. So I expect Dylan Harper to be there.
Is this one of those drafts where we could see a player like have a major impact outside of the lottery picks? You know, every year you kind of look at it, and I think especially around here, we always are like, oh, the NFL draft is so important, second through the third round. I mean, you know, at what point does the first round drop off and you're like, oh, okay, on this, like, you know what I'm saying? There's like a line of demarcation.
For sure. So I think this is a good draft overall, but it was sort of decimated by guys returning to college for big NIL bets. I think that you could have seen, you know, 5-6 first round picks go back to school this year because they're getting paid $3 million or whatever it is for some of these guys to play college basketball. Good for them. I think that it does negatively impact the depth of this NBA draft class. I honestly think it falls off around 20 or so. And then the end of this first round looks pretty mediocre to me. But with that being said, it's like every year there's good second-round picks. There's good late first-round picks. So it's going to happen again this season. A couple of my favorites. I really like Ryan Kalkbrenner, a center out of Creighton. This guy was a three-time Defensive Player of the Year in the Big East. Also just a killer rim scorer. He's 7'1", barefoot, 7'6", wingspan. I just think he's going to be a good backup center at minimum. And if he continues to flush out the three-point shot that he started to show last year at Creighton, you know, maybe he could be more than that. I like Noah Penda, who's a big French wing. He's probably going to go in the late first, early second. His shot's a little shaky, but he's just such a good defensive wing, great passer. The shooting's developing, so, you know, if that continues to flush out, I think he could be a pretty good player. And then you got to name Walter Clayton Jr., too, who just had a totally heroic run through March Madness to lift the Florida Gators to the national championship. He's going to have sort of a small margin to be a good player because he is a little guard. He's not going to be the best defender, but his ability to just hit pull-up threes is reminiscent of like a Damian Lillard type. Like, this guy can just launch from anywhere on the floor. Just incredible core strength, just a dead-eye shooter everywhere. So I really like him too and think he could be a steal for someone in the league.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At first.
Ricky O'Donnell joining us. He's the basketball editor for SB Nation. Cavs have two second-round picks, Ricky. One of them is the second-to-last pick in the second round. the other one in the middle of the round. Second round picks, oftentimes you see guys who were 4-5 year players who end up becoming decent pros. And one name I've seen thrown out repeatedly is Eric Dixon from Villanova. If the Cavs could land a guy like Dixon, you know, big guy, 6'8", scored a lot last year, 23 points a game, would that be a rousing success for them? And what do you think they can do with that pick about in the middle of the second round?
Yeah, I think Dixon would be a good selection at that point in the draft. He's huge and he can shoot. That seems like a pretty good combination for today's NBA. 6'9", 260 pounds. It's comically heavy. And the guy's a knockdown shooter. So, you know, I think that where his limitations are is he's not that athletic. He's already 24 years old. And you just sort of worry, like, who does he defend? Well, the thing is, at Villanova, he didn't have to defend anyone because he was the best scorer on the team. So this guy became the leading scorer in the NCAA after a long career, just got better every single season, and capably filled the role the team asked him to fill. So, you know, I think the Cavs could certainly use more shooting. Taking a second-round pick, you might as well take a guy who can shoot and has an NBA frame. So I think Eric Dixon would be a good pick there. You know, just a couple other guys I would think about. I think Bryce Williams is kind of interesting. He's another wing, had a good five-year career for Nebraska after transferring into that program. Good shooter on solid volume. He's got long arms. A little bit more of a, you know, more defensive upside than Eric Dixon, I would say, out of Bryce Williams. Maybe not quite as good of a one-on-one scorer, but he can space the floor, hit shots. And I like Max Scholga, too, who's a combo guard out of VCU, an advanced stats darling coming over to VCU out of Ukraine. And he was just one of the better players in college basketball for a long time. Like, he doesn't have the athleticism you're really looking for, ideally, out of an NBA guard. But, you know, you look at his stats, and he just impacts the game in so many areas. To me, you know, if you're picking this late in a thin draft already, you might as well just take someone who's good at basketball and can maybe raise the level of competition in practice and at the end of the rotation. So those are a few names that jump out to me.
Hey, Ricky, again, looking at your mock draft, you've got, you know, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper from Rutgers going in the top five. Yet Rutgers had a really bad, end of the season. I'll put it that way just to be nice. But what does that say? That, I mean, you've got two guys that could go in the top five, right? But yet when they play together on the same team, they didn't have any success in college. I mean, they decided not to play in the postseason tournament. And they were under 500. Does that mean anything? Is that something?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I will say that Anthony Edwards' Georgia team also missed the NCAA tournament. I think Anthony turned out pretty good. So I don't think it's like a death blow, but I do think NBA GMs need to ask themselves why Rutgers was so bad if, you know, it shines poorly on Harper, Bailey, or both of them. I'll say I saw Rutgers live at Northwestern this year. Harper was out that game. He was hurt.
Okay.
He did miss some time. That was probably Ace Bailey's best game of the year. It was a spectacular performance. He had 37 points. He only dribbled the ball 10 times. It was one of those like Klay Thompson-esque games where, you know, he's just rising and firing every time, and you could sort of see the talent that Ace Bailey has. But the rest of that roster was so bad. Bailey in particular, like, he just doesn't have a high feel for the game. He doesn't really know how to play basketball, honestly, to this point. Again, he was born in like 2006. He's literally a baby. So you got plenty of time to teach him the finer points of the game.
Sure.
You can't teach 7-foot wingspan. You can't teach shot making and explosive athleticism. So I can definitely see the sales pitch on Bailey. But, you know, college basketball has become an old man's game in recent years. A lot of these teams are like full of 23, 24, 25 year olds. Some of these teams are older than the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just won the NBA championship. So I think it's tough in the Big Ten, but, you know, I don't have a magical answer for it of why Rutgers was so bad, other than the fact that, you know, their best players were very, very young and their supporting cast was bad. I think NBA GM should continue to poke into that because it is a bit odd to have two highly talented prospects on that bad of a team.
I'm anxious to see what happens on Wednesday in the first round. Second round, you know, who knows, crapshoot. How much trade activity early on in the first round on Wednesday?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't really know. To this point, we've heard a lot of teams who seem like they want to trade up. The Nets want to trade up. The Hawks want to trade up. There's some other teams that might want to trade up. But who's going to play ball with them? And in this draft, I think it's a good draft to trade down if you could get, you know, additional assets or shed bad salary or do something like that. Because to me, I put everyone from 3 to 13 in the same tier in this draft. I just think, like, I like a lot of the lottery prospects in this class. Some of them are more boomer bust. Some of them are more like high-end role players. So I think it's really just comes down to like how much risk tolerance a team has. Like, is it worth it for you to swing for the stars if your pick ends up being a bust? It's risky to pass on some of these guys like Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, too, if they end up hitting their top-end outcome. So I'm not sure how much trading there's going to be. I would guess we see one trade within the top 10, maybe a trade down. I could see the Sixers for sure trading down. Could the Pelicans come up to grab Fears or Bailey or a player like that? To me, a trade like that would make sense with a slight trade down for teams inside the top 10. But I don't see like a ton of deals happening now that the Kevin Durant trade is finalized with that number 10 pick going to Phoenix.
Ricky, thank you so much for making us smarter about the NBA draft. I got to be honest, we haven't really spent a whole lot of time talking about it, especially with the Cavs sitting with two late picks in the second round. So we appreciate the knowledge you dropped on us. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you, Ricky. Okay.
All right, Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. Nice enough to join us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.